That was lovely. How many of you heard Spanish speakers singing? How many of you heard English speakers speaking? Yeah, it was lovely, so lovely. I just had to be quiet for a while and listen. Each of our scriptures this season after Epiphany have given us a sneak peek of Jesus' early ministry. Today our scripture shares with us the trust Jesus' first disciples had in him at first sight. You may be expecting a fiery sermon on dropping everything to follow Jesus. Unfortunately, that's not what you're going to get today. Today, I come with a broken heart. In this past week, I've had two things happen at the same time that really have struck me in a way I didn't expect. You may remember last week we signed a petition for a letter and a petition for Hector to stay in the United States so that he would not leave a fatherless family here in Syracuse. And so that was one piece, and I haven't heard the results of that yet. The same day, last Sunday, I received an email from the Social Holiness team with the annual conference, and they had a call to action, which was a man who is an undocumented activist in New York City was also taken by ICE and was being held, and so there was a call to action for that, signing a petition and letter similar to the one we signed last week for Hector. And then on Friday evening, I received an email from one of our friends here in our church, and this was an email just with full of fear and anxiety and worry. That some of her neighbors had actually been taken by ICE in Manoa. Four Mexican men, they are full-time workers with a construction company. Their families live and work with all of us. Their children go to a school in Manoa, in preschool and elementary school, and there's five kids among them. They have wives. And because they had snow on their covering their license plate, they were pulled over and were detained by ICE. And so there's no update beyond that, except for the women were told that they would be transported to Buffalo, which we think is probably Batavia, and held there. They had valid visas, and so this is just very confusing and scary and all that. The women are just, you know, ready to, they're leaving to go be with family in New York City and some to California and some back to Mexico because they just want to be safe. And the women didn't work, so this was all the men being detained means that they have no income for their family to pay the bills as well. And so as all this is happening, I went and marched in the Women's March yesterday. And I went there with no fear, no worry. I knew I could march. I knew that I would not be arrested. I knew that I could use my voice and I could live an everyday, what I think of as normal life. And I marched. And I realized that not everyone has this privilege who reside in this country or this state or even this city. And so today I come with a broken heart. And from there, let's dig in to the scripture from the Gospel of Mark. What could have been going on with the lives of these fishermen that they, according to Chet Myers, during this period, During this period of time, the Sea of Galilee was becoming a booming economy for fishing. As described in Mark 1, verses 19 and 20, After going a little further, he saw James and John, Zebedee's sons, in their boat repairing the fishing nets. At that very moment, he called them. They followed him, leaving their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired workers. Fishing many times was a family business, just like Zebedee's family business. And Zebedee may have been one of the more successful fishermen because he had hired men or laborers in addition to his sons working for him. And the other thing that Chet Meyer says is that fishermen were some of the worst paid laborers during this time. Because of this, some scholars argue that the first disciples, well, they didn't have much to lose. They were lowly, poorly paid fishermen. While other scholars say leaving in the middle of the workday and or the family business was a big risk for finances, for reputation with the boss, for reputation with coworkers, not to mention family harmony. For Jesus, this was about doing ministry with what Jose Reiger calls the underbelly of society, the grassroots, the poor, the oppressed, like our friends and neighbors in Manoa, just driving to work. Jesus wanted to turn power and the economy around so that everyone receives their fair share as the kingdom of God declares. Jesus wanted to turn the idea of power out of the hands of a few to God's intended good for all people. Jesus imagined casting a wide net full of God's love for all kinds of people. So it's great that Jesus called those fishermen to follow him. But what does that have to do with us? We're already followers of Jesus. We're all in, right? How many of you go to the water when you need to get away? A few people. Maybe it's to clear your head or to relax. I know for me, if I have something weighing heavy on my mind, I go to the water. I sit at the shoreline. This is from Casawasco. These lines from the contemporary reading were intriguing. At the shoreline, we stand in the midst of all possibility. We gaze out to the horizon. We wait to receive what comes in with the tide. We leave our boats and we climb into boats. Well, what does this mean? We leave our boats and we climb into boats? What if, just as when Jesus called to the fishermen, they left one kind of fishing for another. But today, Jesus is calling us to step out of our self-constructed, self-comforting boats and climb into a new boat, a boat carved, created, and steered by Jesus Christ. Jesus called to the fishermen, "Follow me," not because they were persons of power or had special skills in scripture or evangelism, but because they were ordinary people, just like you and me. Jesus calls ordinary people to do extraordinary and sometimes risky things with him in his fine crafted boat full of his teachings and strength. As we sang in the hymn, "Lord, you have come to the lakeshore," we sang these words several times. "Now my boat's left on the shoreline behind me. By your side, I will seek other seas." Somehow, when we trust Jesus, get out of our own boats of the way we want things to be, climb into a newly crafted boat to follow Jesus' teachings and count on him for strength, God makes beautiful things out of us. Are we open and ready for the ride in the new boat? Are we ready to cast our nets wider than we ever imagined?
Garden come up from this ground.